Blog Talk Radio.
Live from just off the U.S. continent, way out west in the Pacific Ocean, Santa Catalina Island, Avalon Harbor. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, on the internet and around the world. I am your host, Lauren Cartagena, and thank you again for joining us on another edition of what we call Radio Pangea. Radio Pangea is real news, real stories, none of this fake stuff that seems to be prevalent these days. I want to thank everyone tuning in Norway, the United Kingdom, and South America in Ecuador. Thank you for making Radio Pangea your destination for true independent news. Welcome to everybody who may hear my voice. Thank you for allowing us into your listening space today. Getting to the news. Irish researchers have confirmed that the mesentery, a fold of membrane that connects the intestine to the abdomen, is its own continuous organ and not a series of fragmented parts like experts had previously thought. The discovery could create a new field of mesenteric science and may help doctors better understand the treatment of abdominal diseases. An organ is considered to be a self-contained body part that serves a specific vital function. The heart, for instance, is a muscular organ that pumps blood through blood vessels. Researchers say they still don't quite understand the mesentery's key function beyond the obvious role as a connective layer. One of the world's earliest depictions of the mesentery was produced by Italian Renaissance artist Leonardo da Vinci. While his drawing and subsequent medical illustrations showed the mesentery as a continuous structure, in the past century, science has come to believe it was a series of broken up pieces and thus less medically significant. However, over the last 4 years, the team continued to collect evidence confirming that the mesentery's classification as an organ, which culminated with a November white paper. The research prompted the publishers of Gray's Anatomy, one of the world's best-known medical textbooks, to update the entry of the mesentery. Elsevier Incorporated, which publishes both at Gray's Anatomy and the Lancet Journal, included the reclassification of the mesentery in its 41st edition of Gray's Anatomy, which came out in September of 2016. In other news, in California, a prison official says cult leader Charles Manson is alive following reports that he has been hospitalized. Manson was taken to a hospital in Bakersfield, California, about 60 miles south of the California prison where he has been incarcerated. California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation spokespeople declined to say whether the leader of the notorious Manson family had been hospitalized. Yet, Manson, who is 82, is still assigned to the prison in Corcoran, but officials declined to say whether he's there, citing safety and security protocols. Privacy laws prohibit the California Department of Corrections from discussing an inmate's medical situation. Manson was convicted of orchestrating the 1969 murders of pregnant actress Sharon Tate and six others. Sarah Ardalani of the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office said in an email that the agency had no information on Manson. Yet the office prosecuted Manson and has objected to his release. He was most recently up for parole in 2012, which was his 12th bid for freedom. The California State Prison, Corcoran, has medical facilities to treat inmates requiring urgent and emergency care, as well as inpatient hospital stays. Quote, in general, inmates are sent to outside hospitals if they need surgical services, emergency care, or diagnostic services of an acute nature, said Joyce Hayhoe, a spokeswoman for the federal receiver who controls prison Medicare. These services are not provided in prison state facilities. In November, the state inspector general, which monitors the correctional systems, characterized care at Corcoran as, quote, inadequate. Manson was convicted of leading a cult in which disaffected young people living in a commune followed his orders and were ultimately turned into killers. Manson and his three female followers, Susan Atkins, Patricia Kernwinkle, and Leslie Von Houten, were convicted of murder and sentenced to death for killings at two gruesome scenes in the summer of 1969. Another defendant, Charles Tex Watson, was later convicted. All of them were spared execution when a U.S. Supreme Court ruling temporarily banned the death penalty in 1972. In other news, the White House has pledged to move ahead with the transfer of inmates out of the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, rejecting President-elect Donald Trump's demand for a freeze. With President Barack Obama set to leave office on January 20th, White House spokesperson Josh Earnest put Trump on notice that more inmates would be moved. "I would expect, at this point, additional transfers," he said. Earnest's comments come just hours after Trump tweeted that, quote, "there should be no further release from Gitmo. These are extremely dangerous people and should not be allowed back onto the battlefield," end quote. There are currently 59 prisoners remaining at the controversial detention center. Only a handful of them who have started moving through the military tribunals, including the alleged plotters of the 9/11 attacks. Many of the others are in legal limbo, not charged, but deemed too dangerous to release. President-elect Trump has vowed to load Guantanamo up with some bad dudes once he is in the White House. The White House pointedly responded when asked if Trump's position would impact Obama's thinking. "He will have an opportunity to implement the policy that he believes is the most effective when he takes office January 20th, Earnest said. Trump's declaration is the latest in a series of public disputes between Obama and the outspoken Republican president-elect, who has jettisoned the notion that there is one president at a time. Obama came to the office vowing to shutter the facility, saying detention without trial does not reflect American values. With Guantanamo's closure blocking, Obama's White House has focused on whittling down the number of inmates. Around 20 of the remaining prisoners have been cleared for transfer, but finding countries to take them has often proved time-consuming. George W. Bush had released or transferred around 500 inmates before leaving office. President Obama has released or transferred around 179. In other news, Ford Motor Company announced it will spend $700 million U.S. dollars to turn its Flat Rock, Michigan assembly plant into a hub for electric and self-driving vehicle assembly. Separately, the automaker says it is canning a $1.6 billion new plant it had intended to build in Mexico. Sources close to the automaker reportedly told media gathered this morning in Flat Rock, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, that the decision was to allocate investment in Michigan and not Mexico was not due to negotiations with the incoming Trump administration. However, Ford executives did speak with Trump this morning to inform the president-elect and his team ahead of the automaker's formal announcement. The investment in Michigan will create 700 new jobs, Ford says. It did not say how many jobs were planned for the newly canceled plant in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. However, Ford is by no means exiting vehicle assembly in Mexico. It confirmed today that its next generation Focus compact car will be built at the plant in Hermosillo, Mexico. The Flat Rock plant currently builds the Ford Mustang and the Lincoln Continental, but it will soon also operate as something of a hub for hybrid, electric, and autonomous cars. Ford announced today that three new products will be built at the Flat Rock location in the very near future. In 2020, an all-electric small SUV crossover to be sold in North America, Europe, and Asia. In 2020, a hybrid version of the Ford Mustang Sports Coupe. And in 2021, a self-driving vehicle designed for ride-sharing and taxi use. While Ford has so far remained mostly quiet about these vehicles, they are part of a $4.5 billion investment in electric and hybrid technology to be spread across several facilities. In South America, rioting inmates decapitated their rivals in brutal fighting between two drug gangs in a Brazilian jail that has left 56 dead, while 144 prisoners have escaped. The riot broke out and lasted throughout the night at a prison on the outskirts of Moas, in the capital of Amazonas State. Bloodied and burned bodies were stacked in a concrete prison yard and piled in carts. Sergio Fuentes, who was the State Public Security Secretary's department, has vowed to find those responsible for this incursion. The fighting ranks among the most deadly of numerous prison riots across Latin America in the past decade. Fuentes called it the biggest massacre ever committed at a prison in Brazil. Outside, heavily armed police hunted for dozens of inmates who escaped through a series of complex tunnels at the Aseio Jobim Penitentiary. Fuentes department later said that 112 prisoners escaped from that prison and another 72 from the nearby Antonio Trinidad Penal Institution. Just 40 of the escapees have been captured. In other news, the attacker involved in the deadly shooting at a popular nightclub in Istanbul is a highly professional assassin, security experts have claimed. The gunman, who killed 39 people and injured nearly 70 others, fled the scene after firing at over 600 people and is still at large. The way the attacker carried out the attacks shows that he is absolutely a killer, and he probably shot at humans before, said English language Daily News, quoted anti-terror expert Abdullah Agar. The attacker is determined, faithful, practical, cold-blooded expert who knows how to get results. He probably fired bullets in real clash zones. The attacker, who was believed to be in his 20s, stormed the Arena Club after killing a policeman and a civilian. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying that a soldier of the caliphate had carried out the shooting in response to Turkish military operations against ISIS in northern Syria. While a massive manhunt is underway for the gunman, who has not been identified, Turkish media ran a selfie video of a man they claim is the attacker. The clip, which also was later released by the Associated Press, shows the alleged gunman filming himself and the cell phone in Istanbul's Taksim Square. It is unclear if the video was filmed before or after the New Year's massacre. So far, there have been several conflicting reports about the gunman's identity. A local media reported that the attacker was believed to be from a Central Asian nation and may be part of the same cell that targeted Istanbul's Atatürk Airport in June of 2016. Habertürk newspaper reported, citing sources, that the attacker is to believe a member of China's Muslim Uyghur community. Turkey's crucial tourism industry has suffered a great deal over the recent attacks in the country. Its prime minister slammed the Obama administration for backing Syrian Kurdish forces, which Turkey considers to be terrorists. Binali Yildirim also urged President-elect Donald Trump to put an end to, quote, this shame, end quote. Moving over to the United Kingdom now. In less than a month, Queen Elizabeth II will mark 65 years on the throne, extending yet further the longest reign of any British monarch in history. However, her continued absence from public view has left many to contemplate a future beyond the only monarch most Britons have ever known. A heavy cold forced the 90-year-old to miss the traditional Christmas Day church service for the first time in nearly 30 years. And she was again absent from New Year's Day services at Buckingham Palace. The Queen was still recuperating from the cold, but that missing the church service was a precautionary measure and there was no sense of undue concern, said Buckingham Palace. But in terms of what will happen in the event of the Queen's eventual passing, strict plans are already in place. Prince Charles has long been the man waiting in the wings to take the throne as king. Indeed, however, he does not ascend to the throne, he will be the oldest ever British monarch to start his reign. At the age of 68, he is already significantly older than the previous record holder, William IV, who was 64 when he succeeded to the throne in 1830. He would last just 7 years as ruler before his death meant the crown passing to his niece, Queen Victoria, as he was survived by no legitimate children. There should be no such issue when the throne eventually passes on from Charles. Prince William is third in line of succession, followed by his two children with Kate Middleton, Prince George, and Princess Charlotte. Any other royal currently on the line of succession is unlikely to ever ascend to the throne. William's brother, Prince Harry, is currently fifth in line, but it would take a disastrous chain of events to those ahead of him in order for him to ever become king. The same is true of those below him, including Prince Charles's brother, Prince Andrew, and his children. It is, though, much more straightforward for females to become queen. The 2013 Ascension to the Crown Act declared that there is no longer male preference in the line of succession, meaning that the eldest heir to the throne will inherit it regardless of their gender. However, the wife, and indeed the husband, of the ruler does not sit on the throne. Only one person can be the ruling monarch at any one time. It is discretionary whether the spouse of the ruling monarch inherits the title of king or queen. Queen Elizabeth II's spouse is known as Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, but they are officially known as a royal consort. Another piece of legislation that sought to clear up succession to the throne came more than 300 years earlier. The Act of Settlement of 1701 declared that only the heirs of Sophia of Hanover could be the heirs to the throne. The individuals that currently meet the qualifications are thought to number in the thousands. You're listening to Radio Pangea. When we return, we're going to talk about breaking news in Asia. We're going to talk about a jewelry heist in New York that occurred during the New Year's Day festivities in Times Square. And we're going to talk about the Dakota Pipeline again. All this and more when we return. You are listening to Radio Pangea. Radio Pangea. I want to thank everyone for hosting us here on Catalina Island. We've had a great time for the past couple of weeks here in Avalon. Also want to thank you, the listener. And if you like what you hear, please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Radio Pangea. That is spelled P-A-N-G-A-E-A. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Pangea. Like us at youtube.com/Pangea Foundation. And you can always email us, radiopangea@gmail.com. So moving on to our other stories. Thieves in New York broke into a jewelry wholesaler and made off with $6 million of jewelry on New Year's Eve, just blocks from the nationally televised and highly secured Times Square. Three men broke into a building on Manhattan's 36th Street. A surveillance video released by police showed a bearded man wearing a hooded jacket and looking into the camera. Another man looks like he's wearing a mask, was shown lunging toward the camera, and the video ends. Police are asking for any assistance to identify the suspects. The break-in at Greg Ruth Jewelry Company occurred a few blocks from where hundreds of thousands of people, protected by thousands of officers, gathered in Times Square to mark the start of 2017 by watching a crystal ball drop. The thieves use a pry bar and a hammer to get into the wholesaler on the sixth floor of the building they left through a stairwell. The jewelry company specializes in colored stones such as yellow and pink diamonds, according to its website. In North Dakota, North Dakota's governor has warned that protesters remaining at the construction site of the Dakota Access Pipeline should vacate their main camp before spring because of the risk of flooding. The site of the $3.8 billion project, which crosses four states, was a scene of demonstrations by Native Americans, environmentalists, military veterans, and celebrities who said the North Dakota portion would harm precious water resources and sacred lands. In early December, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied an easement needed to allow the pipeline to run under Lake Oahe, a reservoir formed by a dam on the Missouri River. The Standing Rock Sioux, whose land is adjacent to the pipeline, asked the thousands of protesters to disperse after the decision. Most did so, but some have remained despite the harsh winter conditions. The main protest camp is located directly on a floodplain of the Cannonball Missouri River confluence and will most likely experience flooding in early March, said Governor Burgum, who is a tech industry veteran and was elected in November and pledged to begin meetings with tribal leaders this week. The pipeline, he said, has highlighted the need to address historic injustices against Native Americans. Energy Transfer Partners, which is building the pipeline, has gone to federal court for a permit to complete the job. It is said the 1,172-mile, or roughly 1,885-kilometer-long pipeline, which is nearly finished, would be more efficient and a safer means to transport oil from the Bakken Shale of North Dakota. In Maine, Governor Paul LePage has said he has just signed a measure legalizing recreational marijuana use in the state after the voters approved the move in a November ballot initiative. With that signature, the country's northeasternmost state becomes the ninth to legalize recreational use of cannabis. LePage, a Republican who had opposed the idea, expressed reservations how legalization would be implemented in a regular weekly interview radio address, in which he confirmed signing the legalization proclamation. The law will allow adults 21 and older to possess the drug in private, but not on public places, and up to 2.5 ounces or 70.9 grams of marijuana. We look forward to working with the legislation to ensure a timely implementation, which will provide adults with a way to purchase legally marijuana from licensed and regulatory businesses, the governor said. Nearby Massachusetts last month became the first state in the Northeast to legalize recreational marijuana usage after a similar ballot measure passed. In our final story, the U.S. Navy is training dolphins and their handlers to participate in a last-ditch effort to catch, enclose, and protect the last few dozen of Mexico's critically endangered vaquita porpoises to save them from extinction. The dolphins will use their natural sonar to locate the extremely elusive vaquitas, then surface to advise their handlers of their location. The dolphins have been trained by the U.S. Navy for tasks like locating sea mines. The vaquitas, the world's smallest and most endangered porpoise species, has been decimated by illegal fishing for use of the swim bladder of the fish, the totaba, which is a prized delicacy in China. The porpoise will be impinged in the Gulf of California, also known as the Sea of Cortez, where they can be protected and hopefully bred. And with that, you know the news. Thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Lauren Cartagena. We hope to catch you again. Until then, please, as always, think for yourself.